The last couple of months, I've been looking at wisdom, just looking at wisdom, just the word wisdom and just the concept of wisdom. So that was in my mind Friday, also Saturday, coming up here. And when I think about wisdom, I take it really personal and very practical. On the way down here, on the way up here, I was looking at wisdom, looking at the provision to come here, looking at the letterhead of the letter that was sent to us, the hotel, the address, looking at wisdom, asking Lord, what can I learn from just this whole experience of coming here? Going out to dinner last night, Pastor Steve and Stacy, wisdom. What can I learn from that experience? What can I gain from that experience? Coming here this morning, my wife downstairs ministering with the women in the breakfast. What can I learn from that? Looking at the hospitality, what can I take note of that? Wisdom, the practical things of wisdom. What notes can I take in this journey that we're on? The cafe, the coffee. Make sure the lid was on before I brought it in here. Wisdom, excellence. The atmosphere that was provided here, with worship. Able to touch God, and God could kiss me while we was here in worship this morning. The worship team, how you guys greeted everyone after a couple of songs to worship. Wisdom, practical things of wisdom that I've grabbed, that I've captured. Looking at the drummer, looking at Stacy doing her thing. Wisdom, what can I learn from that? Harmony, unity. Wisdom, practical things of wisdom, everyday things of wisdom. What can I learn from that? How the seats are set up, the sound booth, everything, the monitors, wisdom, practical things. These are very practical things that we can learn from each day. So I try to partake of these things everywhere I go. Even when I work, I've been in IT, been in corporate America for over 20 some years. I'm also a certified life coach. My wife and I both are. And I have a business called Life by Design Coaching Firm. So everything that I take in my life, my journey since I was a little kid till now, I kind of just assess these things. And I look at it as wisdom. Every conversation that I have with someone, I put it back there and I just say, okay, how can I apply this in my life? Wisdom. Wisdom. What's been in my heart for the last couple of weeks was this concept of the blessing of legacy. The blessing of legacy. The Holy Spirit really confirmed it this morning when I was in prayer and during the worship time before service started. And our mind just goes back to the times. We all fast and pray, right? We all fast and pray. We read scripture and everything. So we're on a spiritual journey, and because of the scripture, because of our devotion, we're where we are. No. I believe that I'm here because of others' prayers. Grandparents, great-grandparents, the blessing of legacy. I believe it was revealed to me some years ago. I was in Morning Star down in South Carolina. And it was revealed to me through one of the prophets there that the mantle that I have on my life was because of the mantle that was on my grandmother's life. And when I was in her arms, that she imparted that in my life. excuse me, I'm a crybaby too. But she imparted that into my life. So who I am today is because of other people, my parents, aunts and uncles who laid hands on me, who said, shared some words, even coaches, baseball coaches from Little League, all that, the blessing of legacy. Those people who had covenant with God, God made a covenant with them for us. God is very intentional, isn't he? Very intentional. Awesome Father. And really close to my grandmother and grandparents. It's fun people. I'll share this story real quick. It reminds me of a story. I grew up in a two-family house. So my mother's parents lived downstairs, and we lived upstairs, me and my three sisters. So my parents always had a babysitter. We always had grandma there and granddaddy. We were always there. So our whole lives we had them. They had us. So whenever I didn't like what my mother cooked, I always went downstairs to see what grandma had. The blessing of legacy. The blessing of legacy. That was very, very important to me, and it really touched me. Because I got a practical understanding of inheritance, living inheritance. I think it's very important principles that. I want to say this before I forget. God, our Father, the perfect Father, God, He operates with the blessing of legacy. Thought about us, right? So what did He put in place for us? Jesus, right? So He had a plan. He was very intentional about us. I remember in the old church, growing up as a little kid in the Holiness Church, we always said we wanted to be like Jesus, we wanted to be like God. We want to be like Jesus, we want to be like God. And there's so many facets of the Father, so many facets. But one thing that I want to share today is that one way to be like God, one way to be like Jesus is to be intentional. Is to be intentional. Wisdom. The practical things. Very practical. I just want to encourage the body of believers today. We already have what we need. Scripture says He's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Well, heaven's not up there, is it? Heaven's not out there. Heaven's in there. Heaven's in there. That's where heaven is. Heaven's in there. Heaven's in here. So we draw it out. We draw out the wisdom. We draw out the gifts, talents, and abilities. We draw out the intentional. The things that the Father wants here in the earth. I'm going ahead of myself right now. But this is where the Lord has me today. Has me there. The last couple of weeks. So I know it's to share this. So bear with me. We all have a journey. So I'm going to share a story of someone's journey. And I got confirmation I was able to share the story. So this is from his voice. Most of my childhood experiences came through me growing up and living with my grandfather, EK, most affectionately known as Papa. Most of my work ethic came from Papa. I was born in Lenoir County, North Carolina, to Nellie Marie and James T. I met my father at the age of 16 due to some relative suggestions. My parents were young and never did marry, which is part of the reason I was raised with my grandfather. As I look back at my childhood, I remember being 12 years old working as a grown man on a farm. See, we were sharecroppers, and I was raised with my grandfather along with my uncles and aunts. I had a heavy responsibility at 12. I was mostly out of school from spring until the crops were planted, unless it rained. When it rained, I was soaking up school lessons like a dry sponge. We were lucky if the ground was still wet a second day, then I get to catch up for lost time in school. And I would be in heaven if I can go to school for a week straight. When I left the class, you left the subject. My cousin would bring me the homework. Sometimes I think of what I could have been if I was able to attend school. I would be more advanced and had more opportunities. I had drive, I had motivation. Out of 12 children in the house raised on the farm, I was the only one that graduated from high school. None of my uncles and aunts finished their education. I achieved that sacrifice by the grace of God. I remember also being criticized for being so behind. My eighth grade teacher, Mr. Parker, told me that I had great potential. My rapport was excellent with people. By 10th grade, I had a strategy to go to school every day. By driving the school bus, I signed up for. I had to throw that in there. I signed up for. I lost my place now. Okay. I did go to school every day, but not in the classroom. I still had to go back home during the planting or harvest seasons, then go back to pick up the kids to take them home after school. So that plan foiled. After all of those hardships, I did graduate on time. All things are possible to them that believe. At ages 14 and 15, I used to cut grass and hedges for extra money. One of my customers, Mr. Roscoe Hill, said, "Doobie, you are going to be something in life because you will work." Those words stuck to me throughout my life and encouraged me for years. I used to make his landscape look picture perfect, making money while kids my age were going to the movies and hanging out. Oh, by the way, I was still wearing my uncle's hand-me-downs, living and working in deficit. Some of my uncles and aunts were discouraged by the plight we faced that they dropped out of school. I even contemplated dropping out myself, but I was determined to break the cycle. By graduation time, I was living with my mother and her husband. This always gets me this part when I read this. Okay. By graduation time, I was living with my mother and her husband, and nobody had money to buy me a suit for the great accomplishment that I've achieved. I even told them far in advance that I needed a suit. Well, for graduation, I had to borrow one. This is rough, excuse me. It's a good story, but it touches me. And at graduation, my mother was finally able to meet my teachers. I worked hard to graduate and even harder to get a suit for graduation. Wow. So, after graduation, I was on my way to Michigan, doing a great migration from the South, looking for better opportunity. I stopped in New Jersey. I worked many jobs, Singles Corporation, worked at an airport, and also worked as a trucker. I took correspondence courses to better myself and ended up staying in New Jersey. I became an entrepreneur. I learned that as a trucker, I could have different clients with contracts that would pay me more than I was getting working for someone else. Ooh, God brought me through the hard times and with hard work. I value life. I value people and I value work. This generation, he gets preachy here. This generation wants everything handed to them on a plate. I never received an unemployment check as well as a welfare check. God is good. I believe that each generation should make it easier for the next. My children will ride on my shoulders to their destiny. My path has led me to a beautiful wife and four beautiful children, four grandkids, successful trucking business, property investments, and minister over two churches. I am blessed to serve as pastor. With many disappointments and many victories, my life, my path, started in a very challenging situation, and now I am stewarding people, projects, and have my eyes on other ventures. See, all things are possible to them that believe. I shared the story, because everyone has one. Everyone has a story. Everyone has a journey. I shared a story. Hey, brother. I remember you. Because this is the James E. Kelly story. It's my father's story. He's still alive, too. But it just touches my heart. So even the practical wisdom and everything I get from him. His grandfather, how he was raised. Even he didn't meet his father till he was 16 because of some family member said, "You better meet your family because we don't want you dating any of your sisters that you may have out there," kind of thing. So, also, the father puts us in families. He puts us in families. He gives us gifts, talents, and abilities. He gives us talents for a purpose because he's very intentional. I was thinking about this earlier, about, is there any authors here? Authors besides my wife. Any authors, anyone write a book or just like writing? The reason why God give you that gift and that desire, because there's some things that people need to hear. So if whatever book you're writing or the topic or the article, whatever, is for people. So he put that in mind because of people. Because of people. He raises up leaders because of a people group. Very intentional. He already sees the issue, the problem, the prayers, and then he raises up the solution. So the solution. The songwriters, whatever. So all these songs we sing, not just here this morning, but ever, whenever we sing these songs, we write these songs where people can sing, people be blessed, people be delivered, healed, set free. So you have the right song, you have to do that. We have to do that. We have to do those things. Simple. Wisdom. Practical wisdom. I'll try not to cry anymore today. So not only my father gave me a natural inheritance of wisdom and work ethic and love and family, community. You know, let me just say this. I used to be jealous of my father years ago because everyone loved him in the neighborhood and everything. Everyone loved him. And I was like, well, he's my daddy. He's my father. And he did a lot of things and still does a lot of things in the community, things in church, pastor two churches, everything. So he's a mentor to a lot of different people. But as I grew up, I learned to glean off that. I learned, even to this day, I still learn from him. So that's not only spiritual, has not only a natural wisdom inheritance, but also a spiritual inheritance. Spiritual inheritance. And my mother, too. But the story was my father's story. So, Genesis 18, 17 and 18. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great, mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Everyone in here probably have a word of the Lord on their life. How many people have been prophesied to ever in your life? So that's a promise, right? So God is giving you a promise that's going to come to pass. So I say this again. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. I find the study of this passage very encouraging, very enlightening. Here's the reason why. The Lord will not hide his next steps from Abraham. Now this is the Lord saying, I will not hide anything from Abraham. There's a reason why he said that. Genesis 17. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. This is instruction, right? That I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Then Abraham fell on his face and God said to him, behold, my covenant is with you. You received the word from the Lord today, right? Behold, my covenant is with you. As a promise over this church, right? That was spoken to my wife, right? Behold, my covenant is with you. You shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but you shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful and make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. Nations also, when you see the word nations, look at that as different systems. Systems. I work in corporate America. There's a system there. I'm also in ministry. There's a system here. So sometimes if we're in different different streams, we're in different systems. Also, if you're connected to different churches, different ministries or whatever, you have influence there. You also, God has given you a grace to be able to dabble in different systems because you're blessed. You're graced for that. I will make you exceedingly fruitful and will make you into nations, systems. Multiply your systems, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring. This is what the Lord said, right? and after throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to God to you, be God to you, I will be God to you and your offspring after you. And your offspring after you. That's a promise from the Lord. And I will give to you and your offspring after you the land of your sojournings and the land of Canaan for everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And I know this is the word, church, so I know you guys know the scriptures. So I'm not going to go into all that. But I just want to make emphasis. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant. So the Lord already knows he's going to keep his covenant. You shall keep my covenant. And you and your offspring after you and throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep. Which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins and shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or brought with your money from any foreigner who is not your offspring, both he who is born in your house and he who is brought with your money. Slaves, that were slaves back then, shall surely be circumcised, so that my covenant be in your flesh an everlasting covenant. So he was given instructions and a declaration. He was given a declaration over his life and instructions. So how do we live by, how do we walk this out? How do we practically walk this out? Whatever the Lord has spoken over your lives, and if there's obedience, I still believe in obedience. I still believe in being obedient to the Lord. Out of our relationship with God, out of our devotions, I'm in the shower, worshiping, speaking in tongues, and all that kind of stuff, I get downloads. We all get downloads. And we know what to do, what not to do. When we're arguing, when we're in whatever, whatever, when the Lord says, kind of be quiet, you know, whatever, kind of be quiet. Kind of be quiet, kind of listen, kind of feel, you know, what's going on. God gave a declaration and gave instruction. So he knew the end from the beginning. So he knew that. So, again, I go back. The Lord says, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? He did not hide what he was about to do because he already gave the declaration and instructions to Abraham. So God already knows what you're going to do. That's why he gave it to you. So you could trust that. You could take that to the bank. Whatever the Lord said, you're going to be millionaires. You're going to be doing all whatever he said, you're going to do it. You could take that to the bank. You could take that to the bank. And the reason why Abraham, because Abraham was a friend of God. Remember we sing that song, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. It takes time, doesn't it? To trust that you are a friend of God. To trust all your mistakes, situations, whatever. I just cursed somebody out yesterday, whatever. You're still a friend of God. But out of your love for God, you know how to be, you know, godly character, you know, all that good stuff. Abraham also, another answer why he didn't hide anything from Abraham, because Abraham must know what he would teach his household. He knew that Abraham was obedient. He knew that Abraham would be obedient, not just his sons, but everybody that was part of his household, that he would teach them the ways of the Lord. This is how we worship. This is how we worship God. This is how we read scripture. This is how we understand scripture. This is the way we do it. This is how we honor our wives and our children. He knew that Abraham would do that. So that's why he wouldn't hide anything from Abraham. Because he knew Abraham would be faithful. He's a father of faith, right? Abraham was a friend of God. Okay, Genesis 25:5-6. Abraham gave all he had to Isaac. So now Abraham blesses Isaac. I'm doing this kind of quick. How much time I have? 15 minutes? Half hour? Okay. I'm not going to pick a half hour. Abraham gave all he had to Isaac. So that was part of the blessing. Legacy? Blessing? Legacy? Blessing? He gave all he had to Isaac. But I questioned that when I read different translations. He didn't give everything to Isaac because he had other children. As the legal firstborn, Isaac was entitled to at least double share of his father's estate. But the sons of the concubines received gifts, but he sent them away. so there wouldn't be a distraction to the blessing, to the legacy that he's leaving. So, like the Father God does, he blesses all, he blesses everyone, but it rains on the just as well as the unjust, like the Father, just like Abraham was. Abraham gave to his son that was legal, and also gave gifts to the sons that were not legal. So God the Father was a blesser. He blessed all. We're to bless all too, aren't we? Okay, I'm not going to read about the switcheroo because this is a word church. I don't need to do that. We know that Jacob was blessed instead of Esau, right? We know why. I don't have to go through that. So, Genesis 27:27-40. So he came near and kissed him. And Isaac smelled the smell of the garments and blessed him and said, "See the smell of my son." This is the switcheroo. Is as the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers and may your mother's sons bow down to you. And blessed be everyone who blesses you. As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, the blessing, as soon as he blessed the wrong son, as we see now, as we consider the wrong son, Esau came in from hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father and said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of the son's game that you may bless me." His father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" He answered, "I am your son, the firstborn Esau." Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, "Who was then that hunted game and brought it to me?" I don't have to read all that because we already know that. But I want to get to this point here. Then he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me? Have you not reserved a blessing for me? The blessing of legacy. Look at how God is working all this." Here's the answer. "Behold, I have made him Lord over you and all his brothers. I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son? Bless me, even also my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac the father answered and said, "Behold, away from the fatness of the earth. Behold, away from the fatness of the earth. Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of the heaven. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck." Sounds like that would be a transition, right? So he still was blessed. And Jacob's blessing, the dew of heaven, is first put as the which he most valued and desired and depended on. In Esau's life, the fatness of the earth. So he was still blessed. He still had the fatness of the earth. So, but the funny thing is, Esau was blessed. Esau was blessed by his father, even with the switcheroo and the trickery and all that kind of stuff. He was still blessed because he was still going to have stuff that he had to work and toil for. But Jacob had it for him. Just, "I have it because I have the blessing as the firstborn." So he still blesses. That's why I really want to get to that point, that he still blesses. The father still blesses the legacy of blessing. The father's blessing. Now, Jacob, years pass. Jacob now gets old. Now it's time for him to start doing the blessing, right? Now he blesses Joseph. "The angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys, and in them let my name be carried on, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." When Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, now he's blessing his grandchildren as his children. And Joseph said to his father, "Not this way, my father, since this is one is the firstborn, put your right hand on his head." But his father refused and said, "I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. Nonetheless, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his offspring shall become a multitude of nations." Systems. Nations. Systems. So sometimes when we think it should go a certain kind of way, but the father, there was a little there was a little hesitancy, but sometimes we just have to flow. We have to flow. There's a natural order to some things, and the blessing, there's normally a natural order that the firstborn would get the blessing, but there was a switcheroo. It was by design. To me, that was a confirmation that Jacob needed to be blessed. Because Jesus had to go through him. Jesus had to come through him. So it had to be Jacob. And when Manasseh and Ephraim had to be blessed, right? They had to be blessed that way because it was by God's design. He's very intentional. See, if we follow, it's funny, if we follow the leading of the Lord, we would look good all the time. We would just look good. We just look good. Oh, what did the Lord say? This, that, and the other. Oh, wow, you're great, man. Can you say it again? This, that, and the other. Just, you know, sometimes the natural order of things gets interrupted by God. And it's okay. It works out. It may not work out immediately. It may not work out immediately, but it does. There's times that I made decisions and I know I heard God. I know I heard God. And once I stepped out, I wanted to see fruit like right then. I wanted to see, I know this is God. Look, cause this, that, and the other. But this, that, and the other did not happen. But I was still in God's grace. Cause the fruit that I was looking for was above ground. But what God was looking for was roots that I would trust him. That I would follow him. That I would be sensitive to him. That I would hear him as a son. Forget what everybody else. I want to be with the Father. I want to be with God. I want to be that sensitive. He said, make a left turn. And if it looked like, well, it looked like the fruitfulness was over here. But God said, make a left turn. And it looks kind of barren. But it's not, because you heard God. And people are watching sometimes when you hear God. That you trust God. People are depending on us to hear God. That's the blessing of legacy. Hearing the Father. Trusting him. Hearing him. How about just hearing God? Just hearing him is a blessing. Just hearing him. Say, I love you. I love you. This, that, and the other. Once you get past your identity, Lord, I thank you, Lord. I'm no longer plagued by this. I'm no longer plagued by that. Lord, I love my wife, Lord. You know, he speaks other things. He speaks now assignments. Now, you know, like for me, there was one time, 2007, around 2007, 2008, when we left the church, that was a very fruitful place for us. It was a place that God taught us to hear him more, and also a place where we got healed and our confidence was raised, and to tell, you know, that pastor and the leadership team that God is calling us on. They're like, well, where are you going? I don't know. God to say go. Well, I don't think, you know, but we left a fruitful place. From glory to glory, we left a fruitful place because we heard God. And sometimes hearing God is very uncomfortable. Doing it is very uncomfortable. But it's okay. It's okay because it's part of the journey. It's good. It's a good place. Thank God for that. Thank God for the experience. Thank God I was able to walk through those experiences in life with my wife. And it actually makes you more humble because you have to be hearing God because you're bringing your wife along with you. God said, go over there. You sure? I think so. Because it took me a while before I tell her. You know? The blessing of legacy. Joseph was a powerful man. So, you know, Jacob was blessed. Jacob blessed Israel. Israel, Jacob blessed Joseph. But Joseph was a mighty man, right? I'm going to get to this point. Joseph was a mighty, mighty man. It's the anointing of Joseph, right? And we hear all the stuff about Joseph and those adjectives about Joseph. The reason why Joseph was so great was because the men that went before him. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, then a Joseph. So he had the ways of God, the worship of God, scriptures and wisdom, all that. So now he can manage nations and systems. Now he can do that because there was a legacy laid out before him. He didn't just come out of anywhere. He didn't come out of nowhere. He was trained. He didn't just come out of the sky and today I'm anointed this, that. No, he was trained. He was trained. He was trained by the Lord, by the systems of his forefathers, and by God ultimately. Now I want to actually drive this point home. 1 Chronicles 7:16. David said to Solomon, I had it in my heart to build a house to the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, you have shed so much blood and have waged great wars. You shall not build a house to my name because you have shed so much blood before me on earth. Behold, a son shall be born to you, shall be a man of rest. I will give him rest from all surrounding enemies, for his name shall be Solomon. And I will give peace and quiet to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name. He shall be my son and I shall be his father. And I will establish the royal throne and Israel forever. So he's getting the instructions. He's getting the declarations from God. The Father is getting it. David, the Father, is getting it from Father God, right, about his son. Now, here's David. Now, my son, the Lord be with you, so that you may succeed in building the house of the Lord your God. You see what's happening, right? As he has spoken concerning you. Only may the Lord grant you discretion and understanding. This is David saying to Solomon, only may the Lord grant you discretion and understanding that when he gives you charge over Israel, you may keep the law of the Lord your God. This really blessed me. Then you will prosper. And if you are careful to observe the statutes and the rules of the Lord commanded Moses by Israel, be strong, courageous, fear not, do not be dismayed. With great pains I have provided for the house of the Lord. And he gave all the stuff. He gave all the dimensions and everything that he has left. But he told his son, only may the Lord grant you discretion and understanding. It sounds like wisdom to me, right? Sounds like wisdom. So the father told the son, you need to have wisdom, discretion, and understanding. So, 1 Kings 3:3-9, Solomon's request. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. Only he sacrificed and made offerings at the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar at Gibeon. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give you. And Solomon said, you have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness. So he saw this. Uprightness of heart towards you. So the son saw his father do this. And you have kept him for this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, Lord, oh my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father. Although I am a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern this, your great people. Solomon is known to be what? The wisest man? Why is that? He didn't come out of nowhere because of his father, David. His father, David, gave him instructions. That really blessed me. It really blesses me when you go back and see, like, wow, Solomon was great, Joseph was great, but they were great because of who went before them. There was something that was before, like mentors and coaches. They're great. They're great because they help. They help. They help in the things of the Lord. Now it's Solomon's time, right? Now it's Solomon's time to pass the torch. Ecclesiastes 2:18. This is one of my favorite scriptures here. And I just love scripture, so I'm not going to, just read all this, that everything that makes me feel good. But Ecclesiastes 2:18. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing I must leave it to the man who will come after me. Sounds a little different, doesn't it? And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors of the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This is a different tone than his predecessor. His father made sure, David, his father made sure that he was set up. I didn't read those scriptures that his father even called the elders. My son is young and he's unwise, so help him. Not just building the temple, but by governing the people. He set him up, told him what to pray for and everything. Now Solomon is old, wise guy. Solomon did some great things. I mean, parks and fountains, and I mean, he did some great poetry and theaters. Solomon did some great things. He was a wise man. He was known throughout the land. But now it's time for him to pass the torch. He doesn't know whether his sons and daughters are going to be wise or foolish. Well, I mean, there's a flaw there. He wasn't intentional. He wasn't intentional with the legacy that was coming behind him. His father set him up. He didn't have systems in place. Being intentional. Being relational. I'm a planner just by default. I plan. I have to plan if God wired me to be a coach, mentor. So I have to be a planner because I have to manage my time. So I can be with my family and raising a daughter and being in ministry and being on ministry teams and everything. So I have to have a certain kind of balance with the Lord. So when I plan, I have to plan with my heart, with God in mind. Because I'm a relational guy, I can get pulled into a certain area because of my heart. I wear my heart on my shoulder. I could be turned somewhere. So I have to put systems in place so that I can satisfy and be led by the Holy Spirit. So 2016, at the House of Praise for All People, they send their love to you guys too. Bob Munson, everybody send their love to you and the ministry team. The theme for 2016 was increase. So we read Psalm 16, we'll talk about inheritance and heritage and everything. We read that throughout the year, and as a body, we came into alignment with that word. Who doesn't want to hear the word when you get prophesied about increase? Who don't want to hear that? We jumped on board. It was like, yes, increase. So babies were born. Businesses were birthed. Careers were changed. There was some shifting going on also in the church and leadership and everything. Increase. Increase was good. Now, 2017, the 2017 was a little different. Now with increase, what I'm understanding now, being I'm 47 years old, so as you get a little older in your 40s, you start to understand increase, you can get increase, but now you have to manage it. You have to be a steward over it. You have to steward the increase that God has given you. You have to steward the anointing. You have to steward the call of God on your life. You have to steward those things. How do you steward being anointed? Read the word and fast and pray, meditation time with the Lord. You have to steward those things. God told you you're going to be a writer, so you have to read books and find out, okay, what kind of a book am I to write? Let me look at certain formats and everything, or what kind of songs am I to sing, and what kind of genre am I going to be in? So you have to study. You have to be a steward of those things that God has increased in your life, being intentional. God is not just going to do it. He's going to do it with you. You have to walk up with you. You have to read books. You get some TED Talks and YouTube videos and everything in order to steward those things that God has given you. So, 2017, our theme was intentional positioning. How do we position ourselves with what the Father is saying? Number two, very simple. Define our objectives. Let's clearly define where we're going and get collective agreement. Set goals. Very simple. Develop a strategy and implement the tactical maneuvering. Assess each benchmark. So that would sound like for organizational and all that kind of stuff, but also personally, family-wise, business, career, and all that. church models. One thing Angel and I was talking, because my father pastored two churches and he's very influential over pastors and everything, I watch a lot of stuff. I went with my father a lot when he went to different churches and preached and different denominations and everything. And I watched different church models. I watched some churches that were, and I was telling, just talking to you about this 2 weeks ago, how some churches that were personality driven. So what happens when the old man dies? Or the old lady dies? It's kind of went down, right? Because it's personality driven. That personality, that winning personality just passed away, right? But the ones that we seem to flourish and go through, decades and generations, it was like the team concept. Well, we kind of like those churches because they had youth there. And it was like growing up, you know, we went to those churches where we have a fellowship in the denomination that I grew up in. We liked those churches because they had stuff that was popping. They had picnics and, you know, we went to Great Adventures and, you know, we just had fun with those churches because it was team generated. But when they personality driven, just like the one man show thing, it just didn't work. So when I was looking at the model that we have at the house, and just talking with Angel and growing up, I said, you know what? I kind of like where we are because this is excellent. I learned so much because every joint supplies. Every joint supplies. So we pull on your gift. We pull on your gift. Pull on everybody's gift to make our objectives. We're being intentional by the call of God. We're being intentional by the community. What is God saying for this state, this region, what is God saying? Are we a part? Can we just do our part? What is our part? You know, that kind of thing. So, what I really love about the way God thinks, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like God. I want to be like God. I want to be like Jesus. He thinks generationally. I think the Asian culture, they have it right. The average businesses, and I did a study on this in 2007. The average business plan for 100 years. They have a 100-year business plan. Now in the United States, the average business plan like 3 to 5 years. So what happened in year 6? Years go back to year 1. You know, so they think generationally. And I just want to close on this point. Proverbs 13:22: A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. And the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. I was telling the entrepreneur the other day, you know, as a coach, you run into a lot of entrepreneurs, you run into a lot of business people. But one thing with entrepreneurs, they use a lot of their resources and they live for today. Are they trying to get that thing done today? They're trying to get their clients today. They're trying to get it today. They're trying to get off the ground today because they threw their 401k plan. They threw everything into that business today. But I told this one guy, I said, listen, I understand you. I said, but do this for me. Just try to take $100 a month and put it to a Roth IRA or some kind of 401k plan. Just do that. Just for the next 20 years because you're going to be in retirement age and you do that. Just think about tomorrow, please. For heaven's sakes, think about tomorrow. You know, I know you're buying equipment and tools and all that. I said, please just do that for me. You have a wife, you have children, college, all that kind of stuff. You got to think about tomorrow. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Can we all stand, please? I just want to pray. I was thinking about this last night that I wanted to, different sections, I wanted to just do an impartation. But I can do an impartation now because the angels were here because we dispatched the angels here earlier. So the angels are here. We don't have to lay hands on everyone. Plus, you have a relationship with the Father. You know Him. He knows you. You know Him. One thing about knowing God, when Adam knew Eve, something gave birth. Cain and Abel, right? When Adam knew Eve, that's an intimate word, intimacy word, knowing. So Father, we thank you that you know us. Thank you that you know us, and we are reminded today. Holy Spirit, remind us Remind us of the things you've spoken over us personally. Businesses, families, children. You promise us children. Father, you promise us children. You promise us a legacy. Father, you've given Angel and I a legacy through Layla. So, Father, we release that here. We release that impartation. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. I tried to nail the point home, but you do it. You touch hearts where I couldn't go. Into the heart, to innermost. Holy Spirit, go. We give you access. And Father, mm-hmm. we open up our hearts mm-hmm. for that. We turn our hearts for the things you've already spoken. Confirmation. Give us confirmation. Give us a refresh. Give us a time of refreshing this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful body of believers, this beautiful community, and the friends of this community, and the ground, and the years of love, the years that was sowed into this ministry, into this ground, into the people, to the families, and those. Thank you, Father, even for the words that were spoken years ago. Thank you, Father, that is coming to, I feel that. Father, even the words that were spoken years ago that is coming to pass. Those fasting, Father, those prayer, those all night prayers, those shut-ins and all those times, Father, we thank you for that. We are here because of that. We are here this time and place, this time and space because of what went before us. Father, we honor those. We honor the grandmothers and the grandfathers and the old teachers, the old pastors, the old apostles, those that laid the foundation, Father, that we walk on. Father, we thank you. We honor them today. Now allow us to honor you more as we lay the foundation for the next generations to come. Help us to hold the standard up, Lord. The gifts that you've given us, Father, forgive us for sleeping on our gifts. Forgive us for having wrong perceptions, Lord. Forgive us for being lazy, Father. Forgive us. Forgive us for not waking up 3 o'clock in the morning when you're nudging us. Give us another chance, Lord. Give us new ideas. Refresh us today. We honor you, Lord. Amen.